Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits Conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. I'm a concierge high-performance psychologist providing luxury-level support to executives, entrepreneurs, celebrities, and athletes. With me today, I have Simon Coles. He's the CEO at Amphora Research Solutions, where they free scientists from the tyranny of paper. He is also the founder of the Better Conversations Foundation. I have Dr. Cole Galloway. He's a recovering academic working in social justice and disability, primarily with babies, as the founder at Go Baby Go. And I have Beth Hill Pullen. She's a former school teacher, now using her science brain to create change using tactile patterns. The question I have for you, how do you create cooperation when there's no personal motivation to do so?
So I think that to some extent, this is about architecting the sort of cooperation community in some way, and thinking about the fact that whoever they are, they've got to be collected for some reason. They've got to have something in common, but then they've got to have their own self-interest. So it's a question of analyzing it and then appealing to their self-interest, really. I don't know how far you get appealing to their altruism.
You've heard me say this before on Quick Hits. I don't believe there's any such thing as altruism. I think that's a fallacy, that everyone has a motivation to do anything they do all of the time.
Yeah, well, that's another whole quick hit, Dr. Robin. And it may not be so quick. In a classroom, you're always trying to get a bunch of students to cooperate, and they're not always willing. So you need to find, again, what is motivating them individually and see if you can come across a similar thread that will then pull them in. More carrot than stick.
Yeah. Well, I know you deal with this a lot.
I do deal with this a lot. And half the groups that I work with as a community organizer are on my side of the fence, and we're all aligned. And the other side is, unfortunately, the powerful ones that have no reason to align, and their personal motivations are known, but they're not going to cooperate. And so the only way that I know that you can move forward is kind of taking both Simon and Beth's tact and take a look at your infrastructure. Maybe my demand to cooperate over XYZ is not going to ever work. But if I look on that side of individuals, whether I trust them or not, whether they're ethical or not, if I'm really having to move forward in cooperation, I'm going to have to find that sweet spot between, and it may be adjacent things. I was thinking about the house chores that I hate, but I hate a messy house more. So good Lord, I'll get in there and do 1,000 dishes every day the rest of my life, because the alternative, it's not this way or the highway. It's this thing we could do cooperatively, but it's also anything else we could do. I'm in academics too, in university setting. And oftentimes it's let's cooperate around a jackass mission that nobody's ever going to buy into, and then we'll bludgeon you until you get in line. It never works.
Never works. So power and the stick is much less useful than sitting back and being creative and trying to construct something where people can see their interests.
We've talked about finding motivation. What does it look like to investigate someone else's motivation to try and find those adjacent things?
Conversation.
Better Conversations has taught me that I need to look at my own state, and I also need to look at the context. And back again, and your question was worded as if I want you all to cooperate, or is it that we need to cooperate? If I'm wanting this all to cooperate, I might want to try to regulate that power in an educational view like Beth has, because we're all working together, aren't we? Shouldn't we? Why are we here? Like Simon says, why did we come here today?
But I think that's the salesmanship. If you look at a good project manager, especially in, say, a large company where incentives may not be aligned, they get to understand the person that's in front of them, understand their motivations, and figure out a way of positioning whatever they want to have happen as being in that person's interest.
Yes, understanding the other person. Isn't that almost always the root of the issue? I don't want half of this. I just want your half. All those interpersonal things.
So this is something that's occurring to me as we see the rise of AI and the automation of a lot of knowledge work. It's quite scary. There are a lot of jobs, but people thought they were safe from automation are not going to be. But it is around how well we can work together and that skill of getting a team of people to cooperate well. And if you can't do that, if you're the kind of person who cannot cooperate well with other people, you're going to be out of a job because an AI will come and they'll do half as good a job, but they'll be free. So I think this is a skill that's becoming much more important.
I can hear people out there thinking, well, are you saying that personal motivation, I need to like what I do? I'm saying no, you don't need, there are aspects at the micro level of organization that you don't, there's a lot of things I do, I think we all do during the day, that we wouldn't do this, but it is for a higher purpose. So back again to Simon and Beth mixing theirs and saying, why are we here? And also having a little bit of grace that maybe this cooperative hammer is misplaced if the personal motivation is not there. Mm-hmm. And that's what I see some, we talked about this in Better Conversations yesterday. Mm-hmm. What if that upper management doesn't want to really listen and build a mission from the ground up? Yeah, find that other job, let AI do that, and you go do maybe your own thing. Maybe take a page out of Robin's book and do your own thing if you get frustrated with a cooperative personal motivation conflict.
How can we get everybody to understand why it is that there needs to be cooperation in the first place and how much better it will be if we cooperate? If we're going to go from an elementary standpoint, red pajamas, blue pajamas, we can cooperate. This will be the intended result, or we cannot cooperate and it's going to take us a whole lot longer to get there. There sometimes is that way to spin it as well.
In my world, mission drift is the big culprit, meaning the manager comes down, the powerful come down and say, this is what we all agreed we're going to do. And it's like, no, we did not. Our mission is this. And it's like, oh, no, I think our mission is this. Okay, now we need to really have a discussion. And is there any discussion over hierarchical boundaries, or is it really our way of the highway?
Going back to using position power to enforce compliance, I don't think, certainly in the kinds of work we do, doesn't really work.
It feels like to some people it does. Somehow, I was on a call where a higher up called a female employee darling in a meeting.
Oh.
And the whole Zoom went, what? It was almost like, whoop! And the dude was just blowing through. He was a CEO. It's like, wow.
I think there are a lot of bad managers. I generally think that if you're using position power to enforce something, you probably aren't a very good manager because you haven't sat down and listened to the person in front of you.
Part of it is because of the way we promote people. The standard way that we promote people is, oh, you're good at doing your job. Let me make you a leader. And we never, ever say, are you actually a decent leader? Do we give you training on how to be a leader? Do we teach you how to not say darling on meetings? No, we don't. We just promote people.
And the rest of us zebras in the herd are going, yeah, Earl's not going to, Sally's not going to fit there. We all knew. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a horrible choice. And then 5 years later, they're back at the headhunter wasting more money. We're like, what in the world are they thinking?
And I think that's part of understanding human nature and how cooperation works.
So what would you like to have happen instead then, in terms of these people who get promoted into positions?
I would rather, if you're asking me personally, I would rather that they promote people who are good at leadership. And you can pick them out. There are people who have no title, but can get people to follow them, can create cooperation, can get people interested, can have people do things just because, well, that might be fun. Let's try it. Those people are good leaders, but you have to look for them. Now, the question is that demotivating to your best salesperson? Because, well, I sold the most things. How come I didn't get promoted? And then you need individual contributor roles where people can move up in their organization.
Well, in collective action, you recognize that everybody has leadership potential in different areas, and you're cultivating and trying to recognize. There isn't, even to the infrastructure, there's not that one pipeline. There's how do we use the people that we have right here to build the best thing. But that's, I've never seen an organization outside of grassroots community organizing that is that flexible with infrastructure.
Well, it's interesting how a conversation about cooperation has morphed into leadership. And I do feel like they go together very, very closely. So that is our 10 minutes. I'm going to cut us off there. Thank you so much for having this conversation with me. And I look forward to speaking to each of you again really soon.